Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Brother, if you'll do me a favor and crank this up in the monitor just as good as you possibly can, even if you have to turn me down out there, I want to hear myself tonight.
Amen.
I'm getting over a little cold, and it's been going around our family. And so go on and crank that up here. And I heard one preacher say it's not good till it gets loud, so let's get it loud so it'll be good. Amen. What a delight it is to be at Westmoreland tonight. I'm so thankful for the opportunity. You know, I never believe that things are happenstance.
Come on.
I believe that God divinely appoints every place that I walk into to minister the Word of God. And I know I had a cancellation, but it was for a reason.
Yes.
And it was because somebody at Westmoreland needed to hear what I had to say tonight.
Amen.
I believe that with all of my heart. You know, there's no place I'd rather be than right here.
Come on.
Come on now. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. At His right hand, pleasures evermore. You see, I know that when I go to my daddy's house, when I walk in that door, everything that is His is mine.
Come on.
And if I need something to eat, I go and eat. If I need something to drink, I go and drink. If I need to lie down and rest, I lie down and rest. If my earthly father is like that, how much more is my heavenly father like that? I need to let you know that from the moment you walked in these doors tonight, everything that is His is now yours. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Everything that is His is yours. If you are hungry and thirsty, He said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you need to rest, He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, honey. Whatever you have need of tonight, He has already made provision in the cross of Calvary. Would you just reach out and touch Him now as He's passing by and receive your miracle? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Well, I hope that you can deal with me tonight. I'm feeling kind of full.
Go ahead.
So I'll try to get you out before 1 a.m. I do want to try to sing for you tonight. As I mentioned, I'm getting over a little sickness. But I feel like everywhere I go, I just want to sing. You know, music was a vital part of my ministry. In fact, for 10 years, I was the music minister. / associate, / men's director, / youth and boys director, / everything else you could think of, and not getting paid for anything. You see, you want to talk about paying dues, honey? They owe me back payments. I've paid my dues, but I wouldn't take anything for my journey.
Amen.
It's brought me to where I am today. So I love music. In fact, I have a few CDs left. I almost sold out of everything today. And I think I have 7 or 8 CDs left of music, about 5 CDs of our preaching. There's 4 CDs in that pack. Also, I think I have about 6 or 7 DVDs back there left. Make sure you come by and support us and purchase something before you leave. I know it'll be a blessing to you, and it will certainly be a blessing to us. And several will ask, I'm sure, is at other places, but everything is $15 a piece. You can get 2 for $25. We do take cash, check, debit, credit, steak, Italian, whatever. And so come by and support us. Also, you can find us on the World Wide Web, MichaelBallMinistries.com. Look us up on Facebook, Twitter, Periscope, and Instagram. If you can't find me, there's something wrong.
Amen.
I'm out there everywhere. So make sure you come and visit. But I want to try to sing a couple of the songs tonight, Lord willing, and I'll hold my voice up. This is a true story. The song I'm about to sing to you now. Our church in LaGrange is a little rural church. Town of about 500 people in the community. And there was a family that walked into our doors one day that changed my life. This particular family was a poor family. And many of the churches in the area didn't want them there at their church. Their daughter's name was Kenya. She was 12 years old, precious little girl. Kenya had never been in a Christmas play before, and my sister, who was in charge of the Christmas program, decided to put her in one of the main parts. As time progressed, Kenya became sick, and they couldn't figure out what was going on with Kenya. Finally, running some tests on her, they discovered that she had a brain tumor that was so large it was actually crushing her brain. Well, the months wore on and Kenya digressed. Finally, on the Wednesday evening before the Sunday night Christmas play, Kenya went into a coma. They ambulanced her to the local hospital, and sitting in a little consultation room, the doctor walked in and gave those parents possibly the worst news that any parent could hear. There's no more hope. Your daughter will die tonight. In her despair, the mother ran out of the door crying. The father collapsed to his knees and began to weep. After a few moments of gathering themselves together, they walked into that little hospital room, and as they sat beside their daughter, something happened. Little Kenya, who had been in a coma, opened up her eyes, sat straight up in her bed, looked at her father and said, "Daddy, there's an angel by my bed and he's come to take me home." She closed her eyes and laid back down. The father reached down and picked his baby girl up in his arms, and as he held her, she went off to glory. Now, after hearing the events that took place in that room, my heart was shaken. Not by the fact that we had lost little Kenya. That was just a little portion of it. It was by what she said before she left.
Come on.
She said, "He's come to take me home." She wasn't talking about that little rundown mobile home and that side of the track that no church wanted to go and minister to. She was talking about her heavenly home. You see, you need to know something tonight. If you were saved, if you are blood-bought, born again, this world is not your home. You're just passing through. You were in this world, but you were not of this world. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. If ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions." I don't know about you, but my name is on the mailbox of one of them. And I'm looking forward to the day when I go over to my home that's waiting me just over on the other side. Play that track number 3 for me, brother. Worship with me as I sing "Home Awaiting" tonight. There's no more hope, doctor said. Little girl is dying. We've done all that we can do. There's no more use in trying. The little girl said, "Daddy, there's an angel by my bed. He's come to take me home to God, like my Bible said. There's a home awaiting, a place of perfect peace. No heartache and no more pain, no sorrow, no more grief. I'll be at home with Jesus to rest eternally. Don't worry about me, for you know where I will be." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now there will come a day when I must go to this home of mine. I'll slip right through the Milky Way and leave this world behind. But don't worry, don't cry. Oh, don't you weep for me. For about the time I say goodbye, I'll be kneeling at His feet. For I've a home awaiting, a place of perfect peace. No heartache and no more pain, no sorrow, no more grief. I'll be at home with Jesus to rest eternally. Don't worry about me, for you know where I will be. Honey, if you're saved tonight, in that sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In that sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. I'll be at home with Jesus to rest eternally. Don't worry about me, for you know where I will be. Don't you worry about me, for you know where I'm gonna be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Aren't you thankful for that promise? Hallelujah. Go on and hit track number two. Let's do one more. Have you come to worship Him tonight? I said, have you come to worship Him tonight? Well, I think you ought to just praise Him from the depths of your heart right now. Would you just do that? Come on, help me now. I'm going to praise God for His blessing unto me. I'm going to praise God for His grace has set me free. I won't worry what man will say. I'm going to praise God anyway. I'm going to praise Him, for all that He's done. I'm going to praise God for His blessing unto me. I'm going to praise God for His grace has set me free. I won't worry what man will say. I'm going to praise God anyway. I'm going to praise Him, for all that He's done. When I think of all the blessings I've received from God above, such blessing as salvation and the gift of His great love, well, it makes me want to praise Him and magnify His name. For since the Lord has blessed me, I've never been the same. I'm gonna praise God for His blessing unto me. I'm gonna praise God for His grace has set me free. I won't worry what man will say. I'm gonna praise God anyway. I'm gonna praise Him for all that He's done. When the Holy Ghost starts blessing and the fire falls from above, God's people start rejoicing and their hearts are filled with the love. Well, the devil, he don't like Him, but we don't really care. For where the Lord starts blessing, the devil flees from there. So I'm gonna praise God for His blessing unto me. I'm gonna praise God for His grace has set me free. I won't worry what man will say. I'm gonna praise God anyway. I'm gonna praise Him for all that He's done. Well, I'm gonna praise God, oh, for His blessing unto me. I'm gonna praise God, for His grace has set me free. I won't worry what man will say. I'm gonna praise God anyway. I'm gonna praise Him. Praise the Lord. Just remain standing with me tonight. I want us to go to God in prayer and just remain standing for the reading of His Word. I pray the same prayer everywhere I go and every service. Not out of routine, but out of necessity. I pray, first of all, that God will anoint me to preach. You need to understand that any man that stands behind this sacred desk without the anointing of God is nothing more than a good orator. I don't care how well I speak. I want to know how well I was anointed.
Yes.
Secondly, I want you to pray that God would anoint you to hear. Yes. It is just as important for you to be anointed to hear as it is for me to be anointed to preach. The Bible said that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. In fact, the scripture tells us that he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Do you still believe that the Spirit speaketh expressly to the churches? I believe that tonight. Lastly, I want us to pray that God would have His way. Not mine, not yours, not your pastor's. His will be done. Only if you feel comfortable in doing so would you lay your hand on someone by you. If it's your spouse, you may want to take them by the hand, whatever you're comfortable in. But I want us to lift our voices together and pray that God would bestow these favors upon us. Shall we do it tonight? Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for love that goes beyond measure. Father, thank you for your anointing that I feel in this house. Father, I thank you because before I ever opened my mouth, you already knew what I was to ask. Heavenly Father, touch these lips of coal, or touch these lips of clay with a coal from heaven, that I might speak not with the enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. Heavenly Father, bring back to my remembrance those things which I have studied. Lord, let me speak pointed and clearly. Let it be powerful and anointed. Father, I know that without the anointing, I cannot do what I'm about to do. Father, touch the hearer of the word. I pray that the ears of the hearer would be open and in tune to what you are saying. May they receive the word with gladness tonight. Father, I ask that everything be done decently and in order according to Scripture. Save a sinner. Reclaim a backslider. Sanctify, fill with the Holy Ghost. Heal, deliver, and set free. Father, not because I have asked, but because I come in the name which is above every name. The name of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. Amen and amen. As you remain standing, reach for your Bibles and turn with me tonight to the book of Psalms, chapter 34. While you're turning, it is such a pleasure to be with your pastor. I never take it for granted when a man opens up his pulpit and entrusts his people into my care. Thank you, Brother Ricky and Sister Darnell, for your friendship, for your love and support. I'll go back and tell your mama you're behaving well. To Pastor Edmondson, thank you for coming tonight. I count your friendship valuable. May God richly bless you and your congregation. Several other churches are represented here tonight. May the Lord richly bless you and shine His face upon you and your church. I must admit to you that last Sunday evening I was a little sickened. As I returned home from preaching, I was in revival last week in Washington, North Carolina. I returned home Sunday evening and everyone was asleep. As I began to scroll through my messages on Facebook where ministers and others had messaged me, I just flipped through to see what was going on, and not one time did I see any person offer any praise to God for what He had done in their services. Yet dozens upon dozens upon dozens of people had posted about the Super Bowl. My goal today was that for every person that posted about the Super Bowl, I was going to make sure that I posted to the people about who He was when I got behind this pulpit. So tonight, I want to preach to you what I believe God has placed upon my heart for today. Psalm 34 and 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Would you read that along out loud with me? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, why don't you praise Him as you're seated here tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise is something we talk a lot about. We have praise services. We have praise music, and yet I wonder how often we truly get into a mode of praise. Oh, yes. You see, there are no other people like the children of God. For you see, the world has praise, but unfortunately their praise is directed to things. They praise their position. They praise their finances. They praise human beings. But we, the children of God, when we speak about praise, it is not directed toward a celebrity. It is not directed toward an event. It is not directed toward a thing. Our praise is directed toward a person. Our praise is directed to the God of this universe. You see, the praise that I'm talking about is a praise that can be delivered in many forms. All praise is not exactly the same. In fact, the scripture tells us that we can praise God as we have done here tonight. We have lifted up our voices and sung a song unto God. In fact, the scripture tells us in Psalm 147 and 1, "Praise ye the Lord. For it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely." Did you know that God likes to hear you sing? Come on now. Now, I know a few people that could not sing themselves out of a wet paper bag. I know some folks that could not carry a tune in a bucket. But God does not care about your tone. God does not care about how well you carry a tune. In fact, God doesn't necessarily care what style of Christian music you're singing. All He wants is to hear you sing. Did you know that no matter what you're facing in this life, you have a song that you can sing? A song is something that connects us directly into the throne room of Almighty God. It was Martin Luther that said, next to the Word of God, music deserves our highest praise. You see, the great psalmist David, he understood the power of praise. He sang the song, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Oh, praise is important, and it comes through our singing. In fact, the Bible tells us that Miriam, when God had brought the people of Israel out of Egypt's bondage, the first thing she did when she was released out of that bondage is she began to sing. My Lord, help me tonight. She began to sing a song unto God. Can I tell you, Westmoreland, when you have been delivered from something, you'll have a song down deep inside of your heart. She began to sing before the Lord. Oh, the Bible tells us that even in your storms and in your trials, you can sing a song. Brother Job, he had lost everything he had. He did not have a horn, a hoof, or a hide left. He lost all of his livestock. His family had been taken from him. He was deserted by his friends, and his body was racked with pain. And yet, Brother Job, in the midst of all of that, said, "My God giveth a song in the night." Paul and Silas had been chained up by men. They were bound in a Philippian jail cell. They were behind bars, and yet at midnight, the Bible said that they began to pray unto God, and a song came into their heart. And as they began to sing a song, suddenly they felt all the chains break off of them and the bars came open wide. My God, if you'll just sing unto Him, there's no telling what kind of victory He can bring in your life tonight. My God likes to have a song sung. Oh, but Brother Paul, I cannot sing. Brother Paul, I cannot carry a tune. Oh, worry not about it, for the song that you have is a song that nobody else can sing. The song that you have is a song that was written upon the tablet of your heart. The song that you sing is not a song that the angels can sing. For the song that I sing is, "I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. I have been redeemed. I sing for my salvation tonight." Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. But He said, not only can we praise Him in the song, we can praise Him by lifting up our hands unto Him. Well, the Bible tells us in Psalm 63 and 4, "Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands unto thy name." Now hear me. When we ask you to lift up your hands, we're not asking you to participate in some spiritual calisthenic. The Bible tells us that nobody can ascend unto the hill of the Lord or stand in His holy place unless you have clean hands and a pure heart. You see, when we ask you to lift up your hands unto God, what we are actually doing is asking you to surrender yourself unto Him. I once asked a policeman, why is it that the first thing you do when you arrest somebody is tell them to lift up their hands? He said, first of all, we want to make sure that there's nothing in their hands. Oh, yeah. He said, but then we also want them to know that we are in charge. You see, when we lift up our hands, we're letting God know we are withholding nothing from you. There is nothing in our hands fighting against you. In fact, when we lift up our hands, what we are saying is, I am not my own. I have been bought with a price. Therefore, God, I'm asking you to shape me and make me and mold me in your image. Oh, I would to God that we would surrender ourselves unto him tonight without anything holding us back, and fully surrender our praise unto a God that is worthy to receive praise. But then, not only can we praise him in the song and by lifting up our hands, the Bible tells us in Psalm 47:1, oh, clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Now, I'm not talking about the little golf clap that we've learned to do in church. Hello? You see, when a singer sings something that's pretty, we'll clap. When the preacher says something that is palatable and we can swallow it easy, then we like to pat our hands and say, oh, that was good. That was good. No, I'm not talking about that little clap. This scripture is something more. He said, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout with a voice of triumph. You see, your clapping should never supersede the voice of your praise. The clapping should never override the joy that's coming down from inside of your heart. Oh, but what happens is when we, the children of God, put our hands together, we are not just telling somebody we enjoyed a song. We're not just telling God we enjoy our fellowship. No, what we are saying is, Father, you have made me more than a conqueror through him who loved me and gave himself for me. God, I know that no matter what I face, I'm already have been made victorious through Jesus Christ, for this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. God, I know that you said in your word that whosoever is born of God has overcome already. You see, when you lift up your voice unto God, you need to shout with the voice of triumph. Do not worry who's beside you. Do not care if they do not like it loud. You go ahead and lift up your voice anyway. They don't know the cost of your praise. They don't know what God brought you out of. If you want to yell, then my God, yell. If you want to put your hands together, then put them together. But shout unto God with the voice of triumph. But not only can we praise him in the song, and not only may we praise him by lifting up our hands and by clapping him with the voice, the Bible said in Psalm 149:3 and Psalm 150:3, let them praise him in the dance. Now, I'm not talking about this choreographed mess we've got going on in the Pentecostal church. Come on now. I haven't come to win any popularity contest. You see, not meaning to step on your toes, but you cannot choreograph praise. You cannot plan it or program it. It has to be spontaneous. It has to be combustible from the heart of a human being that knows exactly what God has done for them. In Scripture, the word dance, danced, or dances is mentioned 19 times. And every time that it is mentioned, it's something a little different. The majority of the time that it is mentioned is unusual. In fact, the Heavenly Father used this certain phrase of these words several times. The word dance that is prominent in Scripture was when a virgin would dance before the lustful eye of a man. The Heavenly Father looked at Israel, and several times he proclaimed to them, you're only dancing for me for what I can do for you. You're only dancing for me as a virgin before that lustful eye, trying to please them, but you don't really mean it. Another time in the book of Isaiah, the word dance spoke about a possessed goat that was dancing throughout the street. Now, Brother Steve, I've known a few possessed goats in the church in my lifetime, but not one time did it have anything to do with God Almighty. The other four times that it was mentioned was used in a different form. As I mentioned a moment ago, Sister Miriam, when she was brought out of Egypt's bondage, not only did she begin to sing a song, but the Bible said that she began to dance before the Lord. Now, when you go to the root word of that word danced, the actual Hebrew definition is to be turned about by a whirlwind. Oh, that means she didn't just do a two-step, honey. Something got a hold of her. I'm kind of reminded, Pastor Jerry, of Acts chapter 2, that suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were seated. You see, when the Holy Ghost blows into the congregation of His saints, something will get a hold of you where you can't stand very long before shouting before God. Oh, David, the Bible said that he was ushering in the Ark of the Covenant back into Israel. Oh, I need to stop right there. Listen to me, Westmoreland. When you usher in the presence of Almighty God back into your sanctuary, again, there's going to be some shouting. There's going to be some dancing. There's going to be some rejoicing. He ushered in that ark, and the Bible said that he danced so strongly that his wife looked at him and said, "You must be crazy. You have made yourself to be a fool." Well, honey, if that's being a fool, then let me fool on. You see, I'm not ashamed of worshiping. I'm not ashamed of magnifying and lifting up the name of Jesus. I know where I am, so bid me just a moment in the Pentecost church, in the church of God, the PH, the assemblies of God, and all the other denominations. I know we have these Johnny come latelys that are coming in telling us we don't need to worship the way we worship. They're telling us we don't need to shout as loud as we shout. We don't need to speak in tongues. Well, honey, when you usher in the presence of God, you can't help but to shout a little bit. When you know what's down deep inside of you, you can't help but to do it, neighbor. I would to God that before we left this house tonight, something would get a hold of your hand so hard you could not keep it still. I would to God that something would get down deep in your feet that before you knew it, you were dancing and rejoicing and magnifying the Lord. Oh, let them praise Him in the dance. Hallelujah. But praise can become even more intimate. The Bible tells us in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 5 and 6 that Ezra the scribe had just opened up the book. And when he opened up the book, the people stood to their feet. I'm often asked, Brother Ball, why do you have people stand when you read the word? And my question to them is, why aren't we standing when we read the word? Ezra had not even read. All he did was open it up. Oh my God, if we had a love for the word of God again. When they opened up the book, the Bible said that the people stood to their feet and they lifted up their hands unto God. But the glory of the Lord began to pour down upon that place. And Nehemiah 8, 5 and 6 said that the people bowed themselves before the Lord. Did you know that there are times when His presence is so strong, you cannot sing. You cannot lift up your hands. You cannot clap. Neither can you shout with a voice of triumph or dance before the Lord. The Bible tells us that in Solomon's temple, the Shekinah glory rested in the tabernacle so strong that all of the priests had to get down on their hands and knees and crawl. Now, wouldn't it be amazing if people began to call the cops tonight and say something must be going over there in Westmoreland because nobody's walking out. They're just crawling out under the anointing of Almighty God. We couldn't even drive because the glory was so real in our hearts. But I have come to the realization that it does not matter if you sing, if you raise your hands, if you clap and shout with a voice of triumph, if you dance or if you bow before the Lord. As long as it is done decently and in order, it's just time that the church get back to praising Him the way we ought to praise Him. Now, I know the hearts of some of you. Brother Paul, you don't understand. I don't feel like praising God tonight. I'm tired. I've worked all week. I've been sick in my body. I'm going through something. Or maybe you're just one of those they didn't sing the song I like. But to shock you for a moment, His praise is not dependent upon your circumstance. You see, it doesn't matter what you're going through. It does not matter how tired you are. It does not matter what you are facing. If you know who I'm talking about, there'll still be a praise down deep in your heart. Oh, Brother Job, I mentioned a moment ago, he had lost everything. He had gone through pure hell on earth, and yet he lifted up his head, and he said, "The Lord gave, and the Lord took away, but blessed be the name of the Lord." Oh, neighbor, we've got to praise Him no matter what, because He's worthy to be praised. Oh, pastor, I have discovered that the reason the church is not praising Him the way we ought is because we have forgotten who it is we're praising. Oh, yeah. Do you have just a moment for me to tell you? Good, because I was going to take it anyway. You see, We are not praising some God that was carved out of a piece of wood and hewn out of a piece of stone and placed upon a mantelpiece that man might worship him. The Bible said that the heavens of heavens cannot contain him. How much less can anything that we have made contain him? In fact, when you measure the greatness of every man that has ever been born against the greatness of our God, when you measure the greatness of every nation that has ever risen against the greatness of our God, the Bible said that they are nothing but the small dust in the balance. They are a drop in the bucket and they are counted as less than nothing. It is he that sits upon the circle of the earth and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, the Bible said. Oh, Brother Ball, who is this God that we're praising here tonight? Oh, you need to hear a little bit about him. The Bible said it is he that measured out the heavens with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth with a measure. It is he that weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in the balance. It is he that measured out the water in the hollow of his hand. The Bible said, it is he that laid the foundation of the earth and placed the cornerstone thereof and set the boundary of the sea that they wash no further. Who is this God that we're praising? Oh, the Bible said the wind is in his fist. He rides on the wing of the wind. If you escape into heaven, he is there. If you make your bed in hell, he is there. If you take the wing of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, there his hand will lead you and his right hand will take hold of you. Who is this God that we're praising tonight? The Bible said that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Old David asked the question, who is like unto our God? And God answered him back and said, I am God, and besides me there is none other. Who is this God that we are praising tonight? There is no disease bad enough that he cannot heal it. There is no soul wretched enough that he cannot save it. There is no army powerful enough that he cannot defeat it. There is no devil scary enough that he cannot cast it out. Brother Paul, who is this God that we are praising? Honey, he is God on the platform and he's God in the pew. He is God in the amen corner. He's God on me and you. He is God when the lightning flashes. He is God when the thunder rolls. He is God way up in heaven. He is God down in my soul. He is God in the fiery furnace. He is God in the lion's den. He's the God that conquered death and hell. He's the God that conquered sin. He is God in New York City. He is God in Tennessee. He's God right here in Wilson. He's God on you and me. Oh, he is God in the Father. He is God in the Son. He is God in the Holy Ghost. He is God all three in one. Brother Paul, who is this God that we are praising? He said, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I am the first and I am the last. I'm the beginning and I am the end. He said, I'm the lily of the valley. I'm the rose of Sharon. I'm the bright and the morning star. I'm the fairest of 10,000. I'm the altogether lovely one. Who is this God that I'm praising tonight? Oh, honey, he put it simply, I am that I am. That means if you need a doctor, he'll be your doctor. If you need a lawyer, he'll be your lawyer. If you need a friend, he'll be your friend. Neighbor, he is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He is Jehovah Shalom, my peace. He is Jehovah Nisi, my victory. He is Jehovah Rapha, my healer. And because I know who he is, I'm going to praise God in his sanctuary. I'm going to praise him in the firmament of his power. I'm going to praise him for his mighty acts and praise him according to his excellent greatness. He said, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instrument and organ. Praise him upon the loud cymbal. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbal. He said, let everything that hath breath. Why did he say that? His word said the dead praise him not. Oh, if you're dead spiritually, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you have life indeed inside of you, he said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same. The Lord's name is to be praised. I got somebody lift up your voice and magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name together. Somebody worship him. For the time is now that the Father is seeking them who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Honey, if they can do it at the Super Bowl, I can do it in the house of God. They don't know what I'm praising Him about. They don't know what it brought me from. My God, I've got a right to praise Him tonight. Honey, don't you let some old goat sitting beside you hinder your praise. If you want to praise Him, you praise Him in spirit and in truth tonight. Well, you see, my God had no beginning and my God will have no end. My God cannot be understood, overtaken, or overthrown. My God is the God of heaven and earth. Honey, I'm not worshiping some dead God by the name of Allah. Oh no. I'm not worshiping some God that's mystical. I'm serving a Father. Which brings me to my next point. You see, I praise Him not only for who He is. And by the way, that's all He needs to praise Him for. Did you know that if you do not do it, the rocks will cry out? You see, I'm not a beach person. I don't like getting dirty. You get hot and sweaty, I do enough of that behind the pulpit. I don't need to, you know. But one day, it was just at dusk. I was at a retreat and I had spoken to some ministers that afternoon. And I started walking down the shore. And I began to hear waves crashing, one after another. Oh, and something got a hold of my heart because I suddenly realized that it wasn't crashing because the tide was coming in. Every time it splashed up on the shore, it was saying, glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. It wasn't long I was standing outside in my yard and I saw the wind blowing through the trees. And I noticed that the waves of the limbs were just as wonderful and splendid and elegant as you have ever seen. And it dawned on me, they're not moving because the wind is blowing. They're just waving their arms and their branches saying, glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. It wasn't long before I saw the birds flying by singing a melody so sweet. And I suddenly realized they're not just chirping to be chirping. What they're singing is glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Oh, neighbor, I even walked into my driveway and I stepped on a rock. And I picked it up for just a moment and put it close to my ear. And I noticed it wasn't saying anything. Thing, Brother Nelson, and I realized why. Because after hearing the waves, after seeing the limbs, and after hearing the bird, it did not have to cry out a praise for Michael Ball, because Michael Ball knew who I was worshiping. I would not let some rock cry out in my place tonight, honey. Oh no. You see, because my Father has been so good to me, I not only praise Him for who He is, I praise Him for what He has done for me. Has He done anything for anybody in here tonight? Oh yeah. You see, I praise Him because He has saved me from my sin. Now, I know that some of you are super spiritual. And you have never done anything in your life. But you're looking at somebody that knows the rock from which I was hewn and the pit from which I was digged. You see, I praise Him because I know what happened to me. I know that He saved me. You see, I'll never forget January 6, 1991 in Charlotte, North Carolina. I was 10 years old. My father preached on hell that night. Before he could finish his sermon, I ran down to the altar and flung myself over an old wooden altar. And I began to cry out to God, and suddenly I felt the weight lifted up off of my shoulder. And it dawned on me just this morning while preparing that at that moment, I literally fulfilled the scripture of Psalm 40:3. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a rock and establish my going. You see, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Honey, if I were to start right now and go through all eternity, I would never have enough time to praise Him for my salvation. You want to know why I get so loud? You want to know why I have so much joy? Honey, it's simple. I've got a right to be that way. I've got a right to praise Him. You see, I used to be a child of darkness, but now I'm a child of the light. I used to be a child of the world, but now I'm a child of the church. I used to be a child of unrighteousness, but now I'm a child of holiness. I used to be a child of the devil, but thanks be unto God, because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, I am now a joint heir with Jesus. I'm an heir of God Almighty. I used to be a child of hell, but neighbor, I stand before you redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. My name is written down in the Lamb's book of life, and I am now a child of heaven. Oh, I praise Him because He saved me. I praise Him because He cleansed me. I praise Him because He washed me. He deserves my praise tonight. Oh, if you know it, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Come on, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. But I not only praise Him for my salvation, I praise Him for my sanctification. Well, there's a word we don't hear much anymore. Oh, yeah. You know, I still believe in sanctification. You see, I believe that sanctification is a second definite work of grace. Hello? Yeah. I believe that when Jesus saved me, He saved me from my sin. Right. But I believe that when Jesus sanctified me, He saved me from my flesh. There's a difference. You see, every once in a while, that old fleshly carnal man. Now, I know some of you believe that sanctification is glorification. And that once you get sanctified, you're never going to mess up. You're never going to sin again. You know, I've heard it, Pastor. People would testify, I'm thankful that the old man is buried. Oh, really? So when you were on I-95, late for work, and the person came down off of that ramp going 35 miles an hour and cut you off, and you flipped your lights at them and honked your horn and maybe even waved at them, was that the old man or the new man? When you got mad at your wife this morning before church and you slammed the car door behind her instead of gently easing her into the car and probably hindered the Lord from doing what He really wanted to do in your life because of your attitude, was that the old man or the new man? When you burnt His eggs this morning because He did not take out the trash and you showed Him attitude, was that the old man or the new man? I'm preaching better than you're shouting now. See, sometimes that old man tries to rise up. You must understand, we are not glorified until we reach that heavenly city. And in fact, when you study about Him being crucified with the flesh, and when you study about burying the old man, you will realize it is a continual burying. Paul said, I put this body under subjection daily. But you know what's so awesome about it? Is though I put this body under subjection, I'm leaning upon His righteousness. Yes. You're not holy within yourself. Honey, you may think you are, but your righteousnesses are as a filthy rag. Paul said, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, whom God hath made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I have been saved through the blood of the Lamb, but the same blood that saved me is the blood that sanctified me. And I am cleansed only through the cross of Calvary tonight, sanctified and holy, set apart, made meet for the Master's use. Oh, I'm thankful tonight to know that my God loved me enough that He knew this flesh of mine was going to rise up, but He gave me power to overcome the flesh. Oh, I'm thankful not only for my salvation and sanctification, but I'm thankful for the baptism in the Holy Ghost tonight. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. Starting to sound like an old-time testimony service, isn't it? Oh, yeah. You know, Brother Ricky, I've gotten to the place I despise testimony services. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. You go and ask somebody to testify for the Lord. You know, we normally do it when something's wrong with the sound system and we're trying to get it straightened out. Somebody testify. And Sister Sally Sue stands up with tears in her eyes. Oh, Pastor, I want y'all to pray for me. You know, John's still in the bottle. He's not working the way he should. Little Johnny's going crazy. And little Susie, I don't know what she's up to, but she's in a mess. I want y'all to pray because I've been so sick for the past 4 weeks. Oh, Pastor, I want you to pray earnestly for me. Oh, you know, my dog ran away 3 weeks ago and I haven't seen him. I want you to pray. But more than that, I want you to pray that God will use me. Honey, I need a dark room and a gallon of butter pecan ice cream. You have depressed me. My God received no glory out of that mess you just threw out of your lips. What kind of glory did God receive by you telling everybody how bad the devil had been to you all week long? Oh, no, son, there was something, Brother Edmondson, about the old timers. There was something about our forefathers. They went through hell and high water. They didn't have it as good as we do today. In fact, they worked harder than any of us are working today. They had less than any of us have here tonight. But may I tell you, when they testified about the goodness of God, they didn't whine, they didn't moan, they didn't groan, they didn't weep, they didn't pout. They stood up with everything in them. And said, I thank God I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost and fire on my way to heaven. Oh, neighbor, there was something about their praise. Oh, you hear me tonight? When I think about the Lord and how He saved me, how He raised me, how He picked me up, how He turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Hallelujah. Oh, let me get back on my message very quickly. See, I thank God for the sweet Holy Ghost. You see, you don't understand unless you know what I'm talking about. The Holy Ghost, just like sanctification, is a separate work of grace. In fact, you do not receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost at salvation. Now, never tell anybody that they do not have the Spirit. You know what my Bible says? No man shall say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Well, yeah. I feel like preaching here for just a minute. In fact, Jesus said that when He comes, He will not speak of Himself but those things which He has seen and heard. Now, what Jesus was actually saying is He's not going to talk about Himself. He's going to introduce you to Me, is what He said. You see, you can't even take the walk down the aisle without the presence of the Holy Ghost walking with you. You can't get convicted unless the Holy Ghost show you your sin and your unrighteousness. Oh, honey, it is a third definite work of grace after sanctification subsequent to a clean heart. You are a candidate for the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Oh, my Bible tells me that when Paul went to Ephesus, he looked at 12 men and he asked them a question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? You see, it is another work of grace. In fact, Jesus, He made the statement, I will pray the Father and He shall give you another Comforter that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, for it neither knoweth Him nor seeth Him. But you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and He shall be in you. Oh, honey, if you know what I'm talking about, you'll know why I praise my Heavenly Father. For down deep inside of my heart, I know that I am a duplex apartment. Jesus lives on one side of my heart. The Holy Ghost lives in the other. And we all pay homage to the Father. Oh, because I am a believer full of the Holy Ghost. He tells me these signs shall follow them that believe. Because I'm anointed by the Holy Ghost, I shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I shall speak with new tongues. I shall cast out devils. I shall take up serpents. I shall walk over scorpions. And if I drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm me. Oh, honey, He is with me everywhere and He knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird word and just as free. For the Spirit has control. Jesus satisfies my soul. Now the Comforter, He abides with me. Oh, I'm thankful tonight. I praise God because I have a Paraclete. I have a barrister at the bar. I have a lawyer who stands by my side. That means when somebody brings up an accusation against me and they try to talk about me and run me down, oh, it's my lawyer. He'll stand up and make all the wrongs right. When the devil comes my way and try to confuse me and try to bring me down, it's the Holy Ghost that'll stand firm and let the devil know that greater is He that's in him than anything you've got in this world, devil. In fact, my Bible tells me that when I'm full of the Holy Ghost and power, if I submit myself therefore unto God, I can resist the devil and he will flee from me, neighbor. I praise God because I'm full of the Holy Ghost and fire. Oh, you see, you don't understand. My God, I feel this tonight. You see, the reason I'm so thankful for the sweet Holy Ghost is because there are times in my life where I know not what to pray. There are times in my life where my heart is broken, my mind is confused. Oh, but the sweet Holy Ghost, He begins to pray on Michael Ball's behalf with groanings which cannot be uttered. In fact, there have been times when the devil himself has come down to try to hinder my prayer. But neighbor, the Holy Ghost would begin to pray for me. In fact, I like to think what happens to the devil, Pastor Jerry, when that begins to take place. As the Holy Ghost begins to pray on my behalf, suddenly the devil looks around at his imps and said, wait just a minute. How did that prayer get through? We were trying to hinder it. We were trying to stop it. And I see his number one imp come by and say, well, sir, you don't understand. He started praying in a language we've never been to and we've never heard of before. We didn't know how to stop it because we didn't know what he was praying. Oh, honey, I'm thankful because he is with me. He is inside of me and he prays on my behalf. I'm thankful that I have the third person of the triune Godhead resting inside of my heart tonight. And by the way, if you do not have him, this promise is unto you and to your children and all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. For he that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it is open. For if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more does our Heavenly Father know how to give the Spirit to them that ask Him? If you want the Holy Ghost, He can dwell with you tonight. In fact, would you lift up your hands like lightning rods all over this building and say, Holy Ghost, I'm a candidate. Fill me and refill me here tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, I've got to hurry up. I've only got 2 more hours. But I also praise Him for my healing. Has anybody in here ever been healed? Now, please do not misunderstand me. I'm not talking about that Tylenol you took for that headache before you came to church. But by the way, you need to understand that there's nothing wrong with proper medicinal care. Now, some will disagree with me on here, but I've got biblical proof. The Bible has an author. That author wrote 27% of the New Testament. In fact, greater than any other person, even more so than Paul. Paul only wrote 25%. This man wrote 27. Paul refers to this fellow in Colossians as the beloved physician, Luke. The man that wrote about healing in the book of Acts was a pill pusher. You see, doctors are missionaries of care. Missionaries of mercy sit down to help us in our time of need. I go to a doctor who is a Gideon. He shares the word of God all over the place. I have another doctor that I go to who has a plaque on every one of the walls in his offices. And one of them will say, you've not tried everything until you've tried Jesus. Another one will say, you've not tried everything until you've tried prayer. And it goes on and on. You see, God uses doctors. In fact, speaking to his people Israel about the healing of the nations, he said, is there not a balm in Gilead? You see, that was a reference to medicine. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Oh, I'm preaching good to you tonight. But sometimes, Pastor Edmondson, the doctors get stumped. Sometimes the doctors say there's nothing else we can do. Sometimes the doctors are confused. They don't know which way to turn. But I know a great physician who has a hand of operation that all he has to do is step by your way and reach down and touch you and meet your need. Oh, hear me tonight. I praise God because of healing. Divine healing is provided for all in the atonement of Jesus Christ tonight. I believe the same blood that saved me is the same blood that heals me. If it was strong enough to cleanse me of my sin, honey, it's strong enough to heal me of my infirmity. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Peter said, by whose stripes you were healed. It's already been provided. We must appropriate it by faith tonight. For faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Reach out and you don't need some hotshot evangelist popping you on the head, honey. You need the healer of all healers. You need the miracle worker to reach his hand. And you can be made whole tonight. But I thank him and I praise him for his word. Amen. Oh, do you understand how powerful his word is? Everything I have discussed, you cannot receive without the word. You can't be saved without the word of God. You have to have heard or read the word of God in some form to be saved. Brother Ball, can you prove that? Absolutely. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You can't be sanctified without hearing the word of God. Jesus prayed to his Father, Lord, sanctify him through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You can't receive the Holy Ghost without having heard the word. The Bible said, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them that heard the word. You cannot be healed and delivered without the word of God. He sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Neighbor, this word is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and of the marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. That means as I'm preaching to you right now, the word of God is cutting in and it's cutting coming now. Oh, the word of God will convict you. The word of God will change you. The word of God will move you. It's only by the word of God. You can keep your programs. You can keep your activity. Just give me the word of God. It'll change a drunkard. It'll change an alcoholic. It'll change a drug addict. It'll change a prostitute. It'll change a homosexual. It'll change a lesbian. It'll change a gambler. It'll change an adulterer and a fornicator. It'll change a man or woman. Just give me the word. Oh, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away forever. Oh Lord, thy word is settled in the heaven. Isaiah said, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Neighbor, if you want a word, don't come ask me in the altar. I don't have that kind of word for you, but I've got one that'll last for eternity. Just take the word of God. Somebody better come play something for me. See, I not only praise him for who he is. I not only praise him for my salvation, my sanctification, my Holy Ghost baptism, my healing, and the word. Darnell, I thank him for the church.
Yes.
Some of you take for granted that you are sitting inside the greatest organism in all the world, the church. You notice I didn't say the Church of God or the PH. We're just extensions of the church, in the church, doing God's work. I said the church.
Yes.
You see, we are brothers and sisters of like precious faith. He placed me in an organism, not an organization, so that when I was going through something, I'd have a brother or a sister, mother of Israel, a father in Zion, that would pray for me. He put me in a church that when I was rejoicing, others would rejoice along with me. He put me in the body of Christ so I could gain strength, so I could find help along this journey. But I've got to be honest with you, even as great as that is, sometimes there are some things, Pastor, we neglect to praise him for. Began to think about it even today. You see, I praise Him for those things that I take for granted so often. You see, I have not a mansion in LaGrange, North Carolina. But every time I pull in after preaching, I've got a place that'll keep me warm when it's cold and cool when it's hot. I do not drive a Mercedes or a Bentley, a Rolls or a Benz. But I've got a little Buick that gets me to every meeting. You see, I praise God because when I slip on my coat and tie, I suddenly realize that there are millions of people around this earth that don't even have shoes. And I'm in a suit. Every time I sit down, come on, to a table, suddenly realize that one out of every four children in America go to bed hungry every night. And yet, other than fasting, I've never missed a meal. Brother Ricky, I've not always had filet mignon.
Right.
But I've had some mighty good beanie weenies in my day. Listen to me. See, I praise God because back at home leading music at our home church is a beautiful woman that loves me, and that I trust with my life. But when I'm traveling the roads, it takes care of my sick babies, make sure all the bills get paid, it takes care of my home when I'm not there. I praise God because I have two perfect children. You see, my little girl wasn't supposed to be here. They said that she had died twice during pregnancy. And then they finally said, if she is born at all, she'll be born mentally handicapped, physically handicapped, and probably will not last but a few days. Totally brain dead. But today, my baby girl who just turned 13, other than being spoiled, is perfect. National Junior Honor Society, all sorts of awards for academic excellence. My little boy, everything was fine during pregnancy, but on the day of his birth, something went wrong. One side of the hall, my wife was dying. The other side of the hall, my baby boy was dying. Doctor stood and looked at me. He said, sir, I don't know what to do. Your wife's dying over here. Your baby's dying over here. Father and mother and siblings gathered around me. We began to pray. Several moments went by, maybe 30 minutes or so, and they rushed, told me that your wife's blood pressure's coming back and something's changed. We don't know what happened, but something changed. Something's still wrong with your baby. We're going to have to send him to the NIC unit, intensive care over in Greenville. By the way, we can't fly him because all the air control is somewhere else picking other people up, so we're going to have to drive him by ambulance, and there's a good possibility he may not make it. After sitting in the waiting room of the NIC unit in Greenville, a doctor came to me and said, sir, if your son makes it, he's going to have brain damage. He's been without oxygen for too long. So you need to be aware of this. Sitting in the floor, weeping, because my wife, who I almost lost that day, was recovering from surgery in Kinston. Didn't know that her baby boy might not make it. And if he did, he would be brain damaged. But Parker, who just turned 10, was one of five children that received a presidential plaque for academic excellence in his school. Other than being spoiled, nothing's wrong with Parker. I'm not trying to push this on, but I'm trying to drive a point. November 10th, I was sitting still at a stoplight in LaGrange on Highway 70. They had just changed the speed limit from the new highway going 70 miles an hour, and it dropped to 55 within just a few feet. An 80-year-old lady did not see the sign, did not know where she was at. She told the officer, "I'm not from here. I didn't know anything around me. And I was looking all around, and when I looked up, he was there. Hit me going 65 miles an hour, me sitting still. Spun my car around. The only thing that kept it from flipping over was a set of new tires that a pastor said the Lord laid on his heart to give me.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
A couple of months earlier. Had not been for those tires, I probably would have flipped, and there was a pole that nailed me into my car. My trunk was in my back seat. But my children weren't in my back seat. I was sore. My Lord. Was hit on Thursday. They had to carry me from the ambulance to the hospital. But I got up and preached on Sunday morning. I was preaching like this.
Yes.
Glory.
Glory. Yeah.
But I'm preaching here tonight. What are you saying, Brother Ball? I'm saying you've got more to praise Him for than what you can even fathom. I'm not going to be negative at the end, but I know some of you come and sit on these pews every single week like a knot on a log.
Come on.
You wouldn't move if they put a stick of dynamite under your chair. Bless me if you can, preacher. I dare you to say something that'll stir me. I dare you to sing something that'll make me happy. Well, you don't know this God that I know. Somebody once had the nerve to tell me we don't all praise the same. Some of us just choose to praise quietly. I said, well, obviously you weren't saved like I was saved. Some stick in the mud.
Come on.
Won't move. Honey, this joy that I have down deep in my heart is unspeakable and full of glory. Out of my belly is flowing rivers of living water. I can't help but to get happy and sing a song every once in a while. I can't help but to raise my hand and wave it unto Him. I can't help but to clap my hands and lift up my voice. I can't help but to dance every once in a while. I can't help but to lay prostrate before the Lord and give Him all my praise. He's too worthy to receive the glory and the honor. So would you stand to your feet right now, and with everything in you, every ounce of breath, every ounce of energy, would you praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Great is our God. Oh, sing with me. How great is our God. and all will see how great is our God.
Sing it, Brother Ricky, sing it.
Oh, how great is our God.
Praise Him, church,
oh,
praise
sing
Him.
Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Oh, sing it, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God.
And all
will see how great.
Hear me, hear me. There may be some here tonight that does not know this God that I'm referring to. I want you to understand that as a sinner, and by the way, as much as I would like to be politically correct and call you unchurched, you're a sinner.
That's right.
It's plain and simple. Bible said that God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners,
come on,
Christ died for us. That means you're not on your way to heaven. You're going to die and go to hell if you do not turn your life to Him. You see, you need to know that even if you tried to praise the Lord, He wouldn't hear you. David said, if I had iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. There's only one way you can truly know this praise.
Yes.
And that's by knowing Him whom we praise. I want everybody looking at me intently, please. No talking. Someone's life is weighing in the balance. Heaven or hell? Sin or salvation?
Come on.
I want you to know that if you are in sin tonight, I don't condemn you. Brother Paul, you're a preacher. Shouldn't you condemn us? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. If the Son of God, God the Son, Jesus Christ, does not condemn you, but loves you, then how in the world can anybody in this church condemn you? And by the way, they can't condemn you because they used to be one.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So when I open this altar, you are the first person I'm talking to, sinner. Before the saints, I'm talking to you. My God loves you. You see, the teachings of Allah will tell you to go and kill. It'll tell you that you have to die for Him. But my God died for me. The second person in the Trinity, God the Son, died for me. And He's never told me to go out and kill anybody. He said, love your neighbor. And He actually said, even love those that hate you.